none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, 'Shout!' Then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who were with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Father, thank you for your word. May it bring truth to us today, and may we be receptive to hear it. Amen. Jericho, apparently quite a big city for those days, was the first city that they came upon when they crossed over into the Canaan land. And it was the first city that they were to defeat. And God said to Joshua, "These are the things you shall do." And so he did. He followed along with what it said. And they marched around the city. For 6 days, they marched 1 time around the city. And the 7th day, they marched 7 times. And each day, there was trumpets. And on this 7th day, when the trumpets sounded, Joshua said, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And they shouted, and the walls came down, and they destroyed the city, and they killed everyone in it, and yada, 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 because it was very destructive in those days. Why did the walls come down? Why did the walls come down? What was that again? Sorry. They obeyed God. You know, I don't know if you've been involved in this or not, but in the charismatic circles, there used to be what was called Jericho marches. And they would go around the city, or the town, or the area, or around the sanctuaries, and they would have Jericho marches. I've always questioned why, because I understand the concepts of them, but did God actually say, march around your city? Maybe he did. But we have a tendency to see something happen in Scripture, and then we say, well, that's the formula. I have a wall in my life right now, so I need to march around it 7 times. Maybe so. Maybe that's what God says to do. If you follow what God did say, it will happen. But if you don't, you're just going for a walk. I also always wondered about that because this was a physical sense, that there was a physical wall. So if you end up walking around the sanctuary 7 times and shout and all this stuff, then are the walls going to fall down? Those were always my thoughts. It's like, I don't want to be involved in the destruction of this place that I love to come to. Just the way that I think. But the most important thing that happened here is that they obeyed, no matter how crazy it sounded. Because you look at this story, and there are a lot of people that have taken this and they have said, well, that's the only way you can defeat the enemy. That in order for worship to happen and the proper setting to be there, you have to have the worship first, because they did that for 7 days. And the worshipers that were there for those, well, the 6 days, sorry, that they did this, and the trumpeters sounded continually with the army in front of them, and they were in front of the ark. And so then that's how we have to fashion our services, that we are doing battle in the spiritual realm, so this is what we need to do. But really, it's a story for Jericho. It's a story that happened in Jericho, that Joshua was told, this is what you shall do for this city. And then they were given such victory that they were told to go to the next city, and the next city was the city of Ai, and it was a smaller city, didn't have the same size of walls, and so they said, well, let's just send a few thousand people and go take over that city. And they were defeated soundly. And they were like, wait a second, God, you promised us that we would have victory in everything. And God said, you're right, I did. But I also asked you to make sure that you destroyed everything from the city of Jericho, and that everything that was in the city of Jericho ended up being mine. But if you read on in this story, and if you go to the latter portion of Joshua 6 and into chapter 7, you will see that there was a person who decided to keep everything that he came upon. And so he kept that stuff. And God said, see, your people did not follow after what I said. So why would I fulfill my promise? It's all about obedience. It's not about what you do. It's about why you did it. Did you do it because God said so? Their defeat happened really in the midst of their victory. They had all this victory, and then I can't remember if it was Achan that did this, and he ended up being destroyed himself and his family. And then they took over, and they did defeat the city of Ai and no problem at all, and continued on. Now, I've heard many stories as to why it happened. I've even heard to the extent that that Jericho was the first fruits of the city of the country of Canaan, of the land of Canaan, and because they didn't give everything to God that was God's, that he didn't go before them on the next one, but You can read into that as you will, because that's all about formulas and stuff like that, and I am not into formulas. So let's leave that story for a little bit and talk about today. What happens today in our lives? We have so many things that we come upon that we can look at and say, well, that was a promise of God, so I'm going to stand on that promise. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? And those are some things that, personally, I take seriously. I really do. That, okay, there's a promise that was shown in the Word, and I believe that God's promises are yes. That's what it says. It says His promises are not no. They are yes. It doesn't even have the word not yet. Yet you have people who say that. It's either yes, no, or not yet. The Bible that I read from has no no and no not yet. It has yes. And if you really do say, I believe the Bible to be true, that every word in it is true, then you should say the same thing. So what happens when the promise doesn't happen? And that is the trouble that we all have, right? Because God's promises are true. Do you trust God? And all of you will say, because we are in church, you will say, yes, I trust God. Some of you may say, well, God teaches us in those times, but was that the reason? Because I don't see anywhere in here where Jesus said, and we use Jesus as our example, right? So did he ever go up to a blind man and say, Ralph, sorry, you're blind because God wants to teach you a lesson. Sorry, I can't heal you. Never. So why do we have at times that things don't happen? Romans chapter 8, verse 11 has this scripture. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So what about our lives today? Now, this is talking about our mortal bodies, but I honestly see this as being any situation we come up with, that something is going wrong. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, He said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so He is there to give us life. And lots of people will say, well, that's eternal life. You're right, but in this scripture, that's why I chose this one, Romans 8, 11, it says He gives life to your mortal body. That's what I'm living in right now. My spirit, my soul, live in this mortal body. My spirit is immortal. My spirit will go on forever. It's my choice as to where it goes. But my mortal body is where He gives us life. So many scriptures, He says, in this world and in the age to come. And it's like, okay, so it's here and now that He's wanting to deal with us. So He says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So He's putting a supposition here. He says, if that Spirit lives in you, then He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So He answered His own question. He says, if the Spirit of Him dwells in you, but then at the end He says, His Spirit dwells in you. So everything in between that should be happening. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Whose Spirit? No. The Father. The Spirit of the Father who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead. Who raised Christ from the dead? The Father. I find the way that this is worded can be confusing. So let's change it. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, then God will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit, which dwells in you. The solution to your need. You ready? It's within you. It's within you. You just need to obey. Let's go to Acts 10:38. My fingers are not working great right now. Acts 10:38 says, so this is talking about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So question for you. How did Jesus do all his stuff? Why did Jesus do all his stuff? Was it because he was God? No. This says it straight out. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And God was with him. So let me ask a question. Is God with you? Are you anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power? Then guess what? You can do the same stuff. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 14-ish, he says, you will do the same things I did, and even more than what I did, you will do, because the Spirit is coming to you. So the Spirit comes to us, and we can do more than Jesus did. We can bring life. So the Holy Spirit is the power for our benefit and for those around us. And I already quoted from John 10:10, and so this also alleviates a lot of things. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So anything that's in your life that is designed to steal, kill, or destroy did not come from God. Because he comes to give us life and that we may have it more abundantly. It's not just abundantly, it's more abundantly. You're not just conquerors, you're more than conquerors. Never understood that term. But obviously there is a term because it's there. John 4:14 says this. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Hey, that was me. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38, says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We have within us a living water, a fountain of everlasting life, and it's springing out. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It closes prison doors, sets the captives free. Do you all recognize this by any chance? Yeah, is it open prison? Okay, sorry. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Yeah, because closes prison doors, that would be weird. But he did it to Peter. You have to read that story, but anyways. Where the doors were closed, and they still escaped. Yeah. Sorry, segue. Anyways. The living water that's flowing out of you. It's not there just to make it look like water's flowing out of you. It's there for a purpose. It's there to heal all who are oppressed by the devil. How do I know that? Because let's just find out what this living water is. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 3. Well, let's read the first two to give context. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So the delighting in the law of the Lord, that's not talking about the law that's in the Old Testament here. That's talking about obeying God, just like Joshua did. And then everything will happen like it says. It says that it will, the leaf will not wither, the fruit will be brought forth, and whatever they do will prosper. In Joshua, the promise that was given to him was that if you obey my commands, then everything you do will prosper. Everything you do. You have life, and life more abundantly. It's more than what we are needing. So then Jeremiah chapter 17 follows along the river and also along the tree that we've been just talking about. Verses 7 and 8 in Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. No matter the time of year, drought or not, fruit will happen. Why? Because the tree is planted by the river, and its roots run deep. So let's find out about the river. Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'll read verse 1 and then go to verse 12. It says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Verse 12, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, their leaves for medicine. So this water that we are planted by, through what we've been reading, Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17 is saying that the tree is planted by these waters and the leaf will not wither and the fruit will come forth in every month. And the river that they're planted by is flowing out of the temple. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 22. So if you know where that is, it's very simple. Go to the last page and turn left. Revelation 22 verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God, which we just read about in Ezekiel chapter 47, and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So we look at this and we see that the tree is continually having life water poured into it so that the fruit does not fail, The leaves never wither. It could be drought, it could be rainy, it could be so hot that everything else burns up, but the leaf of the tree will never turn brown. The fruit will always be there. And it's, why is it there? It's for healing. You read further in Ezekiel chapter 47, and it says that as the water touches the things that it's flowing to, the life comes. That it all of a sudden everything turns green. So now the question is, if this river is coming from the temple, where is the temple? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So do you have questions about where the Spirit of God is right now? Well, he dwells in you. Do you not know that? Where's the temple of God? It's right here. Do you not know that? Where's the tree of life? It's right here. Where does the rivers flow from? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It's me. All these scriptures that I just read are talking about me. They're talking about you. Anyone who thirsts, come to me and drink, and out of you will flow rivers of living water. What is the purpose? So that it would heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. That's not just healing of body. That's any issue, any problem that is there, is the solution to your need is within you. The solution to the needs in your world. You notice I always say that. I say it's the solution's in your world. Your world is different than my world. Your world is not necessarily halfway around the globe. It can be. There are different things that happen in all of our lives that could be affected by things that are around the world. But not everything that you see on the news is affecting your world. It affects the world, but not necessarily your world. So what is in your world that you have within you? We talked about that last week. Big time about that last week. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, then God will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit, which dwells in you. God's part is to give us life through His Spirit. Our part is following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The problems of our world, the battles that we fight. Scriptures say we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. We are triumphant in the world. It comes from doing what God tells us to do. The Bible is full of promises of what God has done, what Christ accomplished on the cross. How is it accessed? That is the question. And it's by obeying the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You also may have prophecies that have been spoken over you, and you cannot naturally force them to come true. I say that quite regularly. I say, you know what? You can't force a prophecy to happen. But what you need to do is follow the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit guiding you to do in regards to those prophecies, in regards to those promises? You know, I woke up overnight and I was not necessarily thinking about the message, but I had I don't know if you'd call it a vision. It wasn't necessarily a dream. It could have been just an impression of André Bronkhorst, our prophet friend from South Africa. And I had a thought about him, and he said, in all the prophecies that come over your life, you still have something to do. Because a lot of times we get promises, and we think, well, God promised it, so then, Lord, heal me, and then we sit back and do nothing. What we need to do, say, Lord, heal me. What do you want me to do about it? Could be, take the medicine. Could be, go to the doctor. It could be, why don't you find that healing pastor that's traveling around? It could be, why don't you go to church? They'll pray for you there. It could be, how about you call Ralph up? I don't know why I'm using you so much. I guess it's because you're in your normal spot. That might be it. Do you see what I'm saying? It could be, just sit back and watch my salvation come to you. Because he did that also to the children of Israel. But I've had some people who have said, you're supposed to just pray about it and then sit back and let God do it, because he said in that one scripture, one out of 37,000 verses, one verse says, sit back and watch my salvation come. One story, 21 verses, that says march around the city seven times. And yet we have a tendency, because it was one time in there, that we all of a sudden build formulas. If that was the case, for anybody that has vision problems, please come up and I'll spit in your eye. Because Jesus did it. You see what I'm saying? We need to follow the Holy Spirit, not the formulas and patterns that we all of a sudden say, hey, that worked then, it must work now. It's following the Holy Spirit. Where do you think Joshua came up with the plan? Well, the good thing is that in verse 2, I think it is, it actually cheats and tells you. It says, God said. So have you ever thought that, you know those weird thoughts that you have in your head that happen? And all of a sudden you're like, that can't be God, that's me. Guess what? Joshua was told, march around this city 6 days. And on the seventh day, bring the people with you, but they have to be silent. They're not even supposed to speak to their neighbor, and you're going to march seven times. And then when the trumpets blow, you're all supposed to shout a great shout, and then go kill everyone. Well, Lord, how are we going to get over the wall? Well, he says that too. He says, and the walls will fall. How is it possible that the decibel level of the Israelites was loud enough that it caused the rocks to crumble? It wasn't anything to do with what they did. It was why they did it. Because God said. So in your life, guess what you need to do? First step, are you writing this down? Find out what God says. Second step, do it. And if it doesn't work, repeat 1 and 2. And if it doesn't work, repeat 1 and 2. And repeat it as necessary until, like the widow who knocked on the door of the judge, he finally got fed up with her and said, okay, fine, here it is. And Jesus says, that's what the kingdom's like. So the kingdom of heaven, it's like a widow knocking on the door saying, can you help me? No. 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 Can you help me? Fine, I'll do it. That's what the Bible says. But not in every situation. Because there's also, speak it and it will happen. So guess what? You can go to the Bible for answers, and depending on where you turn it, you will find one. But if you ask and desperately seek after the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and he says you to do something, then do it with all your might. Why? Because that's what the promise is. All that Joshua did was he stepped out and stepped up and obeyed. What are you facing today? Have you consulted God? Has the Spirit been directing you to do something about it? Have you listened? If the Spirit of God dwells in you. And we've already seen 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So let's just take that out. Let's take the if out. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you, then God will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit which dwells in you. So if He's going to do this through the Holy Spirit that dwells in me, then I should find out what the Holy Spirit wants me to do so that He can work through it and do it well. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit for guidance. And Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit gives us life. And so, Father, I pray that each one of us in our world, in our own personal lives, and in the lives of those around us, we will be the one who has the life water flowing out of us. And those who see us, those who dwell around us, those who are interacting in our lives, those who just bump into us in the street, they will receive your life because it flows out of us like a fountain of living water. I encourage you right now to take a few moments and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Ask Him, what are you wanting to say to me today? If you have a difficulty in your life right now, if you have something going on, yesterday we had men's breakfast and Mike McGilvery spoke on miracles that were happening in his life. And then we had a little bit of a time of prayer and testimony of people that have had little things happen. Guess what? God is a God of miracles. God is a God who wants to be involved in your life. And so if you have something, ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do? And see the victory. Because He's wanting you to have that victory. So Father, I pray your blessing upon the people. As Jen plays, please meditate a little bit on what's been spoken. If you do need prayer and you want me to pray with you, I will do so. If you would like, have someone else pray for you, then reach out. Because everybody that is here would be willing to pray with you. I can guarantee it.